January 29, 1987, Telecommunications Subcommittee of the Environment and Energy Committee of the House, organizational meeting.
I feel like there's new faces out there. I almost feel like going through introduction of the people that we haven't been seeing for the last year and a half. Our agenda today is primarily orientation and organizational meeting, and also a presentation of proposed legislation on the part of the various interests that have been following this. I've talked to the chair of the committee. Because the task force did not get its report completed until early December, and the task force did not have an opportunity to really review or make its own legislative recommendations, we're going to rely on the interested parties to provide us with the bill drafts and the vehicles that we'll use. I have a feeling we're going to end up with lots of bills relating to telecommunications, and we won't have a shortage of the proper relating clauses. What I've talked with the chair of the full committee about is, because our part two session for the full committee on the telecommunications overview is not scheduled for a while, it's not going to be next Monday as I had hoped it would be, if we waited until then for introduction of bills, we're getting fairly close to the deadline. I would prefer not to do that, because I'd like to have some things before us for the task for the subcommittee to begin working on. So what I suggested to the chair was that we have a presentation today of the proposed legislation, and that we send the legislation to legislative council to be put in the proper form, and when that's put in the proper form, it can be brought up before the full committee, and upon our recommendation, we would need a motion to do so, but upon our recommendation, then we would recommend to the full committee that those bills be introduced as committee bills, and provides us with the legislation that we can work with. I've talked to some various groups. We're going to get a lot of different legislation, looking at it from different angles. Not everybody's legislation is going to agree with what the other folks are bringing to us, but it will provide us with the vehicles we need, and it does get things in bill form so that we can work with them. Before I get into that, I might just go through, Rocky took off. We know how long Rocky's going to be. The new members always don't think they don't have to be around. My understanding at this point of the issues that will be before us, in addition to the task force report itself, the changes to House Bill 2200, potential of enabling legislation that would allow the Public Utility Commission to adopt a social contact type of approach and specifying the conditions under which they could do that. We will also have lifeline legislation, series of bills relating to regulation or deregulation of the smaller companies, legislation relating to the certificates of authority for cooperatives, expect affiliated interest legislation on treble damages, and phone shutoff legislation. There is also another subject that may bring before this committee. It's also going to be brought before the Trade and Economic Development Committee, which I think will be considering the actual legislation. But because it relates to telecommunications, and discussions I've had with Representative Fawbush, as chair of Trade and Economic Development Committee, he suggested, and we both agreed, that we might also allow some committee time for an overview of the EdNet proposal and discussion of that. I'm sure there will be other issues, other legislation related to telecommunications that will come before us, but I know that those are the issues that we've got. At this point, I'm going to try and keep subcommittee meetings to one meeting a week. But because we have such a large agenda, my suggestion is that we begin to take what amounts to a task force approach. And some of these issues, we'd be asking members of the subcommittee and the interested parties to get together and see what we can work out. Because I think given the large workload and the time constraints that we all have, that that's the only way I can see us working through the workload is to begin to do it in somewhat of a task force type of approach, and then continuing our subcommittees on a once a week basis. We have a glossary. What else do we have? We've got for the members here.
The summary of the interim task force. And we have the draft bill from PNB.
Well, no, I mean just the background.
Just in terms of background, we have the summation and we have the tracer loss.
Okay, you should have somewhere, as usual. I'm buried in paper, so I don't know where it is.
You brought yours with you?
Task force report, or at least the summary of the task force report, and a glossary provided by Tracer of selected telecommunications terms. And as Representative Anderson has already pointed out, there these terms themselves may even be arguable, but it may help particularly the newer members of the subcommittee and the committee as the folks before us talk about these as if we all knew what they were. And there is a subcommittee, the task force report is here. Before I call on any of our witnesses for presentation of legislation, do any of the subcommittee members have anything they want to add or a question?
Mr. Chairperson, if we're going to have bill drafts that are drafted by the specific interest, after we get the legislative council drafts and before we present them to the full committee, I would like the legislative council drafts to be presented with a section by section analysis of every section. Some of these bills are quite lengthy and I don't want to present anything to the full committee for committee bill representation without knowing what it says.
The one bill that is quite lengthy is the bill we've been calling the separations bill that separates the telecommunications language that exists in under PUC from the energy utility language. What we have done with that, I've asked the legislative council staff person, Mr. Wilson, to look that over, not only that, but also a similar separations bill that had been prepared by the Independent Telephone Association. Since it didn't make sense to print both bills, we've discussed using the one proposed by Pacific Northwest Bell as the version to be printed, and Mr. Wilson is aware of that and is reviewing it. I think because it is so large and because we'd like to get the bills introduced, and we'll have to be going back doing that anyway, that particularly on that bill it would be time consuming prior to introduction to expect that to be done.
Mr. Chairperson, could I ask for a summation in a narrative form of the specific proposals, specific changes, and specific policy decisions we're going to have to make?
I think we could ask those people proposing the legislation to provide that, a summary of the legislation, if they wanted a section-by-section analysis, to the committee prior to introduction of the bill.
Thank you.
Also, any introduction of the bill by the committee would note that it was at the request of a particular party, and not simply that it was a committee bill. It would be noted that it was at the request of a particular interest.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
What I'm trying to do is get the bills introduced and so that we can begin working on them. And I'm afraid if we waited that we would be running up against the deadline. And the speaker's also urging us to get bills in. Representative Anderson.
Chairman, I hope at some point in time we could write in Director General Services to give us an update and report on the state system.
I think that'd be a good idea. We might want to do that some in conjunction even with the EdNet proposal. What I would hope that we can do is we are going to, some things will be done by the full committee. Not it's entirely possible that not all of this legislation that we have or these subject matters would go directly to this committee. Some may be handled by the full committee and not in subcommittee discussion. Others, and I guess my view on some of these is that I'm not particularly concerned personally that some of these necessarily end up in legislative form. I would hope that our objective is to get the issues resolved. There are some issues such as deposits and deposit reduction and deposit policies that I would personally be very happy if we could reach resolution, and if it was in PUC rule form would be fine, not necessarily have to have legislation on it, but the objective is to try and reach resolution on some of these issues and not necessarily have legislation. And if it's possible, I've talked to Ron, if it's possible that some issues could be done by the full committee rather than the subcommittee, that would reduce our workload as well. That the general services thing may be something that would be better for a full committee discussion, as well as the EdNet might be a full committee discussion. Anything else? Okay, who do we have as our witness?
Just keep it short.
Oh, we have a different color witness list. Is that because we're a subcommittee?
I guess so.
I hope that color isn't appropriate.
What color is it?
Well,
I'm
not sure.
It's a buff color, I guess. Ray, you're our first and only one. There are others, though.
There are. I apologize to Representative Ray, because I do have indexed the sections that are in that humongous bill there. That at least gives you an idea.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Pacific Northwest Bell. Mr. Chairman, you talked about the split in the statute, removing telecommunications from the traditional public utility statute, and that's what this bill intends. It creates a new chapter 759. Sections 38 to 113 comprise that new chapter. Now, it incorporates all the relevant portions of chapter 757, as well as portions of 758 dealing with allocation of territories and customers, and portions of chapter 772 regulating condemnation by public utilities. The remainder of the sections of the bill are housekeeping amendments that are required by the creation of a new term, telecommunications utility, and the removal of telecommunications regulation from Chapter 757. Now, the reason for the new term is because of the misconception with the most people of the general public. When you say telecommunications public utility, we are not generally public utilities except for some PUDs. We're investor-owned, so we just describe it as telecommunications utility. If that were to give the full committee or anyone heartburn, why, you know, we can change it at any time. But that's the only substantive change. The direction to the people that drafted or put together this draft were everything comes across word for word. There is no change. There's no hidden agenda in the bill at all. It's to make it a little more convenient in the future for those of us who do need to deal in this area because of the changing telecommunications world, that we have one chapter to deal with, one chapter only. If there's any questions?
Any questions about this particular bill?
The housekeeping part worries
me. Yeah, that's right.
It choked me too.
Housekeeping bill.
It's a little housekeeping bill.
Any other?
Yes. As I discussed before with you, Mr. Chairman, I better give you copies. About 8 years ago, we changed the treble damage statutes to as far as the criteria for treble damages: gross negligence, willful misconduct. It was our opinion to begin with that we might look at the standards for approving these and perhaps change them. Since then, we have decided that that is not the proper way to go. Currently, if we are involved in a suit requiring damages, it's automatically trebled by the courts. This proposal simply puts the burden on the court itself. We say the court may determine that the public utility or telecommunications utility, railroad, air carrier, or motor carrier is liable to the person injured, thereby in an amount not to exceed treble the amount of damages sustained. So this kind of leaves it to the court. We're not looking for special protection in this legislation, except that we do think that sometimes the award is unjust through the automatic trebling of the award. We would be willing to leave ourselves open for punitives. If that's the case, I would recommend that we just repeal that statute, and we'll deal, as we have said before, like any other business today. And we would ask the committee's indulgence in sponsoring this piece of legislation. Without going through this entire proposal, it deals with affiliated interest transactions. It removes the requirement for prior approval by the commission. It doesn't relieve the Public Utility Commission of the authority to determine the reasonableness of the transaction, nor the determination of whether or not it is in the public interest, because these would be addressed in any subsequent rate proceeding. Some questions in the past have regarded cross-subsidy However, this issue, as you will recall, is covered in House Bill 2200, which now appears in 757-825 sub 5. So we would like to revisit this issue, and again, we ask the committee's indulgence to introduce the legislation.
Any questions of Mr. Pickle?
I can assure you, Mr. Chairman, we have discussed with some other interested people the matter of Lifeline, utility shutoffs, and I speak for pretty much the industry, I believe, and Mr. Astley will back me up on this when he's before you, that we are willing to work with anyone to resolve that sort of an issue, or any others, as far as that goes.
Yeah, I'm encouraged about at least the extent that if potential success can be measured by the willingness of people to participate, that at least is an indication that we can be productive in this subcommittee, because all of the parties have their own self-interest, I assume, but all of the parties have been very willing and very cooperative. That's encouraging to me at the start of the session.
Thank you.
Maury, do you want to take next?
For the record, my name is Maury Astley, and I'm the Executive Vice President of the Oregon Independent Telephone Association. I've already provided you the draft bills that we have proposed, and these originate really from some discussions that we've had during the interim with the interim committee and members of the committee and with the co-chair of that committee. And from that, we decided there are some things that we would like to see done and some things that are being asked of the industry, and we volunteered to help do some things on Lifeline. And I assure you, as Ray said, that we're interested in working with the groups much as we did last session. I think that worked very well, get all the parties' interests out and working with you to come up with compromises that meet the needs of all the parties, and I think we would rather do that as well. We've reviewed the deregulation activities in other states, and as well as the intent of House Bill 2200 to deregulate telecommunications utilities. After watching the formation of rules to implement House Bill 2200, we have concluded that we would like additional deregulation to further reduce the regulatory burden on small companies. The small companies were not supposed to be affected by the breakup of Bell, and in fact all the independents were told that it would be transparent, but in essence we've had a tremendous increase in accounting records and consultants and lawyers' time, and actually our independent companies are spending a lot more time on the regulatory burden than we did before deregulation, and for some of the small companies it's become almost unbearable, and so we are looking for ways to reduce the amount of regulation that they have to comply with and still leave the protections that would be needed in there for consumers. In addition, we'd like to strengthen the local service boundaries to ensure universal service, and we'd like to make some changes in House Bill 2200 which would clarify the position of cooperative telephone companies and assure that the Public Utility Commission studies subsidy funding on an issue-by-issue basis. We would also suggest that the telecommunications industry be separated in the statutes from the energy companies. There are significant differences in the way our industry is regulated, and it would be less confusing to deal with this as a separate section. I have reviewed this concept with the other utilities, other common carriers, consumer groups, the PUC staff, and the interim committee co-chair. There appears to be no opposition to this. PNB and OITA have both submitted draft bills to split the appropriate ORS sections, and I understand they're being reviewed. The PNB version is apparently more complete, and so we've agreed to defer to that version. In response to a request by the interim committee co-chair, Representative Ekus, we have also drafted a lifeline bill. This incorporates ideas discussed during the interim, as well as ideas that would be required by OITA if we are to endorse a lifeline bill. I'll give a brief overview of each bill today and answer any questions you might have, and I'd like to reserve detailed testimony for later, although I'd be glad to provide a section-by-section discussion as requested by Representative Barrio. The Lifeline bill establishes a fund to subsidize telephone service for food stamp recipients where the rate for local service exceeds $15 a month. It requires measured service where it's available. It requires the PUC to ask for a waiver of FCC access charges. It uses general fund money and the Oregon State Adult and Family Services Division to administer the program. The remaining bills have been numbered for reference. Bill 1 and 1A are designed to prevent the PUC from further eroding the local exchange boundary. We already face competition from shared tenant services and cellular mobile. The universal service depends on a stable base of customers to spread our costs. We're finding that the local customer base is beginning to be attacked the same way long distance was, and Andy's favorite word, bypass, is now starting to appear at the local level. And the same thing is going to happen there. We take the higher profit customers away, and again you're going to shift more of the burden to the remaining customers, which are residential and rural. Bill 3 requires that subsidy funds be reserved for the original purpose and that new subsidies should be established in their right. There was a Bill 2, but we've dropped it, and so that's why things are out of sequence. The current Universal Service Fund provides subsidies for high-cost companies, Lifeline, and Universal Service. Each of these is a separate issue, and a source of funding should be established for each. If you recall, the other day I mentioned that there are three different concepts when you talk about universal service, high cost, and lifeline. And we think that the current method of just taking one fund and spreading it around throughout the way, it doesn't really give us a studied answer to where the appropriate funding is for each of those types of subsidy. Bills 4A to D, exempt from regulation telephone companies with less than 15,000 access lines from the following areas. I'd like to mention the 15,000 is somewhat of a separation between the holding company size and the small individual owned, but that's not completely true. In Oregon, there are some companies in both under 15,000 that are both holding companies as well as individual companies. But the our original idea was patterned after Iowa, which uses 15,000 as a breaking point for deregulation.
Excuse me, Maury, at some later time, could you provide us a breakdown of which are under 15 and which are over?
Yes, I'll give you a list of the companies and by size. And this is I've broken these into separate bills for several reasons. There are a couple things that are more controversial than others. For example, the first bill, 4A, DORS 757-480 to 495, is the area that deals with affiliated interests. And there are going to be a variety of bills, and rather than hang up the other ones, I felt it might be better to leave that as a separate item. The second bill, 4B, there are three different sections that we work with there. The first eliminates the commissioner's power for investigation of management records and equipment. This is the auditing power of the commissioner. The second section, 105 to 110, eliminates the requirement for filing budgets, and 400 to 450 eliminates power regulation over utility securities, mortgages, and stocks. Now, this is kind of the bulk bill that just gets rid of a lot of the paperwork and stuff that we have to do now that require a lot of extra costs. Bill 4C, 757-210 to 220, eliminates hearings for rate relief. Now, this eliminates the hearings part of approving tariffs, but it does not eliminate the tariffs themselves. These first three bills, 4A, B, and C, all would be mandatory elimination of regulation from small companies. It also allows, in the second paragraph of each bill, for holding companies that are small to petition the commission and ask for the same kind of exemption for regulation. And let me give you one example. Continental of the West has a 400-line office down in southeastern Oregon. They're not a part of the Continental of the Northwest up here in the Staten area. And for the PUC staff, it requires a lot of extra time and energy dealing with that company for that small group. And so staff had asked me if I would include in our bills an option for them to work with a particular company to remove them from regulation when they were also under the small size limit that we established. The fourth bill there, 4D, deals with 756-500 to 515 and 205 to 240, 310 to 330. This bill is a little different, and it includes includes what was in Bill 4C as well as these other statutes, and this is only upon petition by a particular company. And the reason for that is some of the telephone companies do not want to remove themselves from regulation for tariffs, rules and regs and those things. They're comfortable with that. They don't like being put into a total deregulation situation. Some of them are concerned about what happens with disputes with customers. I'd like the PUC to be in between. So what we've decided is for these three areas, we would put it at the option of the company to petition the commissioner. That means the commissioner would hold hearings and